Crossville Church, how are you this morning? It's good to, well, you're here. That wasn't very positive. We might ought to try that again. But we are glad that you're here and glad to have those of you who are guests with us today. And we believe we're going to have a great day today as we worship the Lord. Let me remind you of just a few announcements. Choir practice this afternoon at 5 o'clock, evening small groups at 6 o'clock. If you're in the Good News classroom group, the sheets for this evening are back on the back at the sound desk. Tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Where are you, Mary? That's right, isn't it? 6 o'clock. We kick off Vacation Bible School. Stellar. It's wonderful. The set and everything for Vacation Bible School is down there. It's ready to go. Not everything is ready to go, but almost everything is ready to go. It is going to be a great time for our kids. If you have friends and neighbors that have children, invite them to come and to be a part of it. We had a little glitch with our QR code on our flyer, and group actually closed us out on Friday. And so if you want to register, if you have somebody that needs to register, just bring them tomorrow night at be here a little bit before 6, and we'll get them registered for Vacation Bible School. We want to thank you for all of you who have given items for Vacation Bible School, and we really do appreciate it. Next Saturday is going to be VBS Fun Day, and the kids will be telling you more about that as we go through the week. Next Sunday morning, we will not be worshiping in here. Next Sunday morning, we'll be worshiping in the gym, and it's going to be a great time. You'll get to see the set. If you want to come early and see the set this week, you can. They could use a lot of help, so be sure and remember that. But we're going to have a great time in Vacation Bible School. No Super Summer Something Wednesday night because of Vacation Bible School. No walking in the gym this week because of Vacation Bible School. And so a lot going on down there. But we will have prayer time Friday here at the church at 9 o'clock from 9 until 10. You're welcome to come and go as you need to, as you want to. But be sure to remember prayer time. If you have items for the children's yard sale, that is coming up in just a couple of weeks, we ask that you please hold those until after Vacation Bible School. We really don't have room to store them right now, and so or any more than what we've already received. And thank you for those who have brought stuff already. But if you have items, be sure and hold them till right after Vacation Bible School. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving. We appreciate the way that you give, and we pray God's richest blessings on you as you give today. Any other announcements? She wasn't here last Sunday morning. I found out this morning that it was my fault that she wasn't here last Sunday morning. I had talked to Miss Rosemary to let her know that we were going to be doing this, and I forgot to tell Miss Rosemary when we were going to do this. And they went to a homecoming service. Marcy, I'm going to read this to you. Crossville Church of the Nazarene takes pleasure in presenting this certificate, this Distinguished Service Award, to Marcy Dodson for many years of service across multiple churches of the Nazarene as treasurer, choir director, board member, pianist, other musical activities, singspirations, etc., always smiling and reminding us to do the same. And Marcy, we are glad to give you and honor you with this Distinguished Service Award. I have been blessed across the years to have very, very good treasurers. And for a pastor to be able to work closely with his treasurer, that is so important. And Marcy she's always a blessing. And she comes in and she pays us. And we appreciate that, don't we? But she manages the finances of the church with such care. And that is so important. And we appreciate all that Marcy does. Mary, I don't think they read all of yours last week, but we honored Mary and Marcy for this past year that we just finished up. But thank you so much for these ladies who do so much. Fran and Carolyn, thank you, were from last year. So, any other announcements this morning? Pastor Tyler, come and lead us in worship, please. Let's stand.
Stand with me this morning as you're able, and let's pray together. God, We're thankful that we can gather in your house and worship you. And God, this morning we come to this place knowing full well how you've moved in the past, well aware of the fact that you've met with us in this place in days gone by. But today we need a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. And so, God, I pray today that you would meet with us in this place and that we would leave here today knowing that we have had an encounter with Almighty God. I pray that in these next moments to come, that you would be glorified and that we would worship you, because that is exactly what you're deserving of. Father, thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne.
Ephesians 5, verse 8 from the New Living Translation says this. It says, "For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord." But this is the part that's important. It says, "So live as people of the light." You know, I think of people like Paul. The man was literally standing as a coat man at the stoning of Stephen. And God used Paul, who was once full of darkness, to found what is the church today. And if God can use a coat man at a literal execution to spring forth what is the church, then just imagine what it is that he can do with you. So this morning, that's what I want us to understand. As we're singing this song, the blood of Christ goes deeper than the stain of sin could ever imagine going. We were once full of darkness, but now we have the light of the Lord. So let's just live like it. Sing together with me this morning.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out of time. Far too wide, but from a far side of the chasm, you had me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build it here inside. There at the cross, you paid
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the blood that has been applied to our hearts and our lives. We're so thankful that you were willing to come and to die for us. Even while we were yet sinners, your word tells us you died for us. And we're so thankful, Lord, for the love and the grace that has been extended to us. We're grateful, Lord, for this opportunity that we have to come into this place this morning to worship you and to allow your word to speak to us. And so, Lord, I pray that even now as We prepare our hearts to hear from You, that You, through the power of Your Spirit, would invade this place, and that You would, Lord, show each of us right where we are living and right what we need this morning. And we pray, Father, that You'd help us to respond to You and help us, Lord, then to go from this place realizing that we are going into the mission field, realizing, Lord, that we are going out to where people don't know You and that we are the light of the world and we should shine forth like stars in the darkness. And so, God, I pray that You would bless and that You would help in this service this morning. I pray, Father, for those of our congregation who need Your touch, whether it's a physical touch or a financial touch, a family touch. Lord, You know the needs that are represented in this place this morning. And so we ask You, God, that You would touch, help, heal, give hope as only You can. And Father, may You do great and mighty things in our hearts and lives. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this opportunity to be together this morning. Bless us, we ask You now, as we look in Your Word. And for all that You're going to do for us, we give You praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, and we're going to begin with verse 3 and read down through verse 10. And then put your finger right there and turn over just a couple of pages to Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. And we're going to take the time to read that this morning. A lot of times if it's that long, I won't take time to read the whole passage. But I want you to get the full impact of what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart this morning as we talk about laying down your life. As we talk about laying down your life, Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 3, it will be on the screen this morning. Brothers and sisters, this is the apostle speaking to the church at that point in time. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the church, to the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. And then Acts chapter 7. Verse 54, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the church had grown. If you go back and you look at all of this passage, the church had grown and the widows were being neglected. Deacons, which means servants, they were appointed. And the first one to be appointed was a man by the name of Stephen. It's interesting how they describe Stephen, because it says here that he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. And then you go on down to verse 8, and there it says that Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power.
did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Now, that passage interests me because we don't have any idea what those wonders and what those signs were, but we know that Stephen was doing them. Some commentators, if you begin to look this up, they go as far as to say that Stephen, because of the Holy Spirit's power that was in him, had performed some miracles on par with what Jesus had done, on par with what the apostles had done. I've always found out that if something good is happening in a church, that it doesn't take long for the devil to come in and for opposition to spring up. And in fact, that's what you find here, because some people got angry about it, and that's what the Word of God says, that opposition arose. And when they confronted Stephen, they could not stand up against the wisdom that he possessed because of the power of the Holy Spirit that was in him. And so the opposition began to murmur, they began to gossip, they began to bring people in, they began to pay people so that they would say things that were lies so that they could really get rid of this guy named Stephen. It was one of those situations where he was in between a rock and a hard spot. They were determined to destroy the servant of God. He was seized, he was brought before the Sanhedrin, which was the Supreme Council of Israel. And when the group that took him into the place, when they began to look at him, chapter 6, verse 15, says that when they looked at him, they saw the face of an angel. In other words, the glory of God shone from his face as he stood there before them. Well, when he was asked about all the charges that were brought against him, Stephen preached a sermon to a group of people who knew what he was saying was true. These were the most learned men in Israel. And this deacon, this servant, in this new group or in this new religious sect, threw all of their theologies basically back in their face, and God's conviction came on them in such a way that they couldn't stand it. I have found across the years that when we are convicted by the power of God, we will do one of two things. Number one, we will either accept that conviction and repent and then move forward, or we will reject that conviction, we will rebel, and we'll move to destroy the person or the group that has proclaimed the truth that we're not willing to accept. This group of the Sanhedrin, they opted for the second of the two, and they moved to destroy this man named Stephen, and they did destroy him. They stoned him to death. It's interesting when you look at this that during this stoning him to death, he prayed that the murder that they were committing at that point in time would not be held against them. I think Stephen had more grace than most people. Really? I think he had more grace and more love than most people, because most of us would have resented them for what they were doing. I mean, this is an amazing series of events. It's an amazing testimony of one who was willing to lay down their life for Christ. Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at what Jesus has had to say about taking up our cross. We talked that first week about counting the cost. We talked about that second week about laying down our lives. We talked last week about John the Baptist and how John the Baptist was willing to become less in order that Jesus might become greater. And today, I want us to look at this man named Stephen who was willing to lay down his life. So often, we just look at the death of Stephen. So often we just look at the death of Stephen. But this morning I want us to look at the life and also the death of Stephen and how he was willing to lay down his life in both instances for the cause of Jesus. We know that he accepted Christ. We know that he was living for Christ. And so I want us to see what living for Christ had really done for him. The first thing that I want you to notice, I had somebody tell me a couple of weeks ago, they say, "Pastor, you read the Bible and the messages." They said, when I read the scripture, I don't get what you got out of it, but I learned something. I hope you learned something this morning. Oh, that was good.
We are already in trouble. First thing I want you to see is that Stephen laid down his life for the church. He laid down his life for the church. I've already told you the events that led up to this happening in Stephen's life. The widows among the Grecian Jews, they were being neglected. And so the apostles decided that they couldn't do all that was needed to be done. And so they appointed a group of deacons to begin to help take care of the issues that were going on. I could camp there for just a moment, but I won't. But suffice it to say this, the pastors cannot do everything. Okay? You see, the wisdom of the apostles amazed me and the willingness of the church to accept this proposal. It's encouraging to me. It was something new, and they adopted it for the sake of the growth of the church. And so these deacons, these servants, they were appointed. And when you look at the qualifications, you find that in verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. These were people right out of the congregation that the congregation knew, they could see that they were full of the Holy Spirit, that they were full of God's wisdom. They knew what needed to be done. It reminds me of the qualifications that you find of the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, when it says that the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times and knew what needed to be done. God, give us people who understand the times and know what needs to be done. You see, it's so important. Stephen and the men who are named here, they evidently, because of all the things they were already doing, they were appointed as deacons. And it's in this passage of Scripture that you find the first time that people come before the apostles and the apostles lay their hands on these men to dedicate them for service. It is in this laying on of hands that these men were prayed for and that they were given authority to minister there in the church. My favorite part, we just finished up district assembly. And let me just tell you this, our district superintendent, Brother Ron DeWitt, received almost a unanimous vote for 4 more years. The district has had a good year, and we praise God for that. And as soon as they send it out to us, I'm gonna run off and hand you out Brother Ron's report to the district assembly. It was very good. And if you want to watch it, you can actually go online and watch him give the report. But one of my favorite parts about district assembly is the ordination service. We ordain men and women as a denomination, not just as a local church. And for you to become ordained in the Church of the Nazarene, it's a long process. It is at minimum a 4-year process. It's a process of education. It's a process of meeting with various boards. It's a process of having your name submitted to the district assembly. And the district assembly then vote to ordain you into the Church of the Nazarene. And Tyler right now is going through this whole process. He has just finished his bachelor's degree at Asbury. We praise God for that, don't we, Brianna? But to watch all of that go, all of that happen, to watch those men and women as they come and as they stand before the general superintendent, and the general superintendent asks them about their relationship with Jesus. He asks them, are they willing, basically, this is not the term that is used, but he asks them, are you willing to lay down your life for the church? You see, we want to know when someone goes into a church, we want to know that they're Spirit-filled. We want to know that they're called to do what they're called to do. We want them to understand that serving really does mean that there are times that you're going to receive applause. There are times you're going to receive negativity. There are times that you're going to go through all that, but God is with us. And then the general superintendent lays his hands on the heads of those men and women who have been through all those board meetings, who have been through all of that education, who have been through all of those things. And he says this. He says, by the power invested in me in the Church of the Nazarene, I ordain thee elder, or I ordain thee deacon. Not just in the Church of the Nazarene. He doesn't say that. But he says, by the power invested in me by the Church of the Nazarene, I ordain thee elder in the Church of God. The church in general. Never forget when Dr. Eugene Stowe at Jasper First Church of the Nazarene, Jasper, Alabama, laid his hands on my head, and I'm telling you, I thought the weight of the world was being placed on my head. Little did I know. And these men, they came before the church, and the apostles laid their hands on them and gave them authority to minister in the name of Jesus. You see, our local church board, they may not be deacons or deaconesses, but they are to possess the qualities of these here in the book of Acts. They're to be full of wisdom. They're to be full of the Spirit. They're to be full of grace. I love what it says there about Stephen there in verse 8, that Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. He was not only full of the faith and full of the Holy Spirit, but he possessed even more. And let me say this morning. You may not have been ordained by a general superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene, but we are all called to be ministers in our local congregation. Just because you've not received a certificate that hangs on your wall doesn't exempt you from service in the kingdom. It doesn't exempt you from laying down your life for the church. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says that God has made us competent ministers of the new covenant. As we were preparing for worship and getting the songs together, I was telling Pastor Tyler about the message this morning, and he reminded me of what John said in Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, where John speaks of Jesus who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us to be a kingdom of priests. To serve God and the Father. We are all called. We're all part of that holy priesthood if we are a follower of Jesus Christ. So therefore, you are commissioned to serve in the church. We have all been called to lay down our lives for the cause of Christ. And Stephen laid down his life for the church. But not only did Stephen lay down his life for the church, Stephen also laid down his life for the crowd. Stephen laid down his life for the crowd. Look at verse 8. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. He's not talking about the church there. Among the people. Now, I'll go ahead and tell you before I get started, this is going to get close this morning, and you may not amen me too many times through this portion. This is not just among the church people, this was among the people, this was among the crowd that was there in Jerusalem. Folks, I want you to understand this morning that if we're going to lay down our lives for Jesus, it can't just be while we're inside the walls of this building. You see, we can talk a real good game inside this building. We really can. We can talk about all that Jesus has done for us. We can talk about what we want to do for Jesus. But I'm telling you, where the rubber meets the road is when we go out of the doors of this church. That's what it's all about. You see, we need to be willing to lay down our life for the crowd that is out there. The reason the crowd won't accept what we have to say many times, and I'm not just talking about Crossville Church of the Nazarene, I'm talking about the church in general. The reason that the crowd won't accept what the church has to say is because we've talked so much about so many things and have done so little. I could name you a couple if you want me to. Let me just talk about one for just a second, okay? We praise God for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. We have prayed for that. We have sought for that. But now, church, and I'm speaking here of all of us, now we have to put our money
and our actions where our mouth is to help take care of women who are in crisis pregnancies and children who are not wanted. And that may mean that some of us have to do some foster care. That may mean that we have to do some things that maybe we wouldn't ordinarily do. But if we're going to prove to the world that we meant what we say, then we better get in action. Stephen made the crowd mad. I mean, he did. He called for truth. And evidently, he was living out the truth. One of the reasons that so many times some of our young adults and young people leave the church is they leave because they've heard us say one thing in the church, but they've watched us out in the crowd. And we're different here than we are out there. It ought not be that way. I mean, Stephen upset the religious people of his day. And he was willing. This is the amazing thing about this man. He was willing to lay down his life for the crowd. He knew where this was headed. I don't think there was any doubt in his mind where this was headed. And yet he was willing, as they were stoning him, to say, "Don't lay this thing that they are doing at their charge." I love when I read this story because I look at this theological novice, because that's what he was. They didn't have colleges to go to. They didn't have anything like that. So here was this man, Stephen, a theological novice, and he schools the entire religious community about the real meaning of the Abrahamic covenant. He schools them about the Exodus out of Egypt. He schools them about what the temple and the tabernacle meant. He schooled them about their persecution of the prophets, and he schools them about how they treated and how they killed God's Messiah. I mean, look at verse 52. "And now you," of chapter 7, "and now you betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels have not obeyed it." And they rushed him. Not just one, the group. They rushed him. And they took him out. And they killed him. Folks, please understand this morning that truth that is known but is not followed always infuriates those who are not living by it. Jesus laid down his life for the crowd. Stephen laid down his life for the crowd. And you and I are called to lay down our lives for the crowd. We may not be called to die for them, but we are called to do what we can do to see that they know that Jesus can save them. We are called to be witnesses. Stephen laid down his life for the church. Stephen laid down his life for the crowd. I'm glad we can end on a positive note. Stephen laid down his life for the crown. Verse 54, "When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 'Look,' he said, 'I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" Now, at a casual reading, we don't get much from that. I mean, at a casual glance, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But when you begin to look into all of this, you're going to find that every other place that you see the post-resurrection Jesus, he is always seated. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 tells us that the reason that he did that is because his work is done. What he did on the cross was sufficient. It provided for our salvation so Jesus could sit down. The high priest in Jerusalem, they never sat down because their work was never done. But Jesus, our high priest, he sits down. I mean, in Luke chapter 22, verse 69,
Jesus speaks that he will be seated at the right hand of the Father. Paul in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 1 talks about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father. Four times in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1 verse 3, in chapter 8 verse 1, in chapter 10 verse 12, in chapter 12 verse 2, the Hebrew writer speaks of Jesus being seated at the right hand of God the Father. John, speaking the words of Christ in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, says that he is seated at the right hand of the Father. But listen to what it says about Stephen. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and did what? Saw Jesus standing. And then he declares in verse 56 to all the people who were there, look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing. Like I say, you just read it at a casual glance and you don't see anything. It may not mean much to us, but it shows Jesus standing to welcome this one who had laid down his life for him. I mean, throughout the New Testament, you see those who are given, who have given themselves for the cause of Christ, receiving the crown of life. I think Stephen heard Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Stephen was about to receive the crown that the Apostle Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. He was about to receive the crown that Peter speaks of in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. I'm going to read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. That's not the end of the verse. Listen to the rest of the verse. And not to me only, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. That's us. That's us. If we are longing for Jesus to come, if we are living for Him, if we are laying down our lives for Him, one day we will receive a crown of glory, the crown of life. I mean, it had to be an amazing sight for Stephen to behold Jesus standing there to receive him. Jesus standing there ready to give him the crown of life. And you know what Stephen did? He took that crown and did a victory lap around heaven. Nope. Stephen didn't take a victory lap around heaven to show off to everyone what he had received. I think Stephen did what the saints of God will do, and I base this on Revelation chapter 4, verse 10. He placed the crown at the feet of the one who had loved him, who had given his life for him, who had changed Stephen's life. You see, we don't do what we do so we can say, look at what I did. We do what we do so we can say, look at what Jesus did. We lay down our lives so that he can work through us, so that he will receive the glory, so that he will receive the honor, so that he will receive the praise. It's not about us, folks. It's about him. We live so we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I think when we hear them, we're going to say, "It wasn't about me. It wasn't about me." See, Stephen laid down his life for the crown. Conclusion. What an awesome passage. What an awesome person. A man who willingly laid down his life for the church. He laid down his life for the crowd. He laid down his life for the crown. Folks, I want you to understand something, that there have ever been a time when the church needs people who are willing to lay down their lives for the church, it's today. Do you realize that all that happens around here doesn't happen because we have church elves that come in and do it? There are not mice that scurry in and out of here. Well, Linda will tell you that we might have seen one this week. But he was crispy, and for that we're grateful. They're not church mice that run in and out of this place and get everything ready. The reason that things get done is because there are people who are willing to sacrifice their time and their talents so that things can happen. All that, I'm telling you folks, you can't believe that's set down there for Vacation Bible School. It is unbelievable. And I'm so thankful for those who came Friday and yesterday and worked. But it's because of that that things happen. I mean, the board spends hours meeting and making decisions and trying to do the best they can. And I mean this kindly, but if you don't agree with what they're doing, then run for the board next year. You know? Jesus expects us to lay down our life for Him. He does. And the crowd out there, they need to see Christians active in the Great Commission that Jesus issued, and the orders have not changed. He expects us to be involved. And that crowd, when they come, they may not look like, act like, do like we do, but that's who Jesus died for. And at one point, we didn't look like, act like, do like, be like the people who were in the church that we got saved in. But they lovingly accepted us. I had someone tell me something, and I'm going to brag on you for just a second so you don't think I'm just beating you up. I had somebody tell me last week, they said, Pastor, it is the friendliest church that we've ever been to. And I want to tell you what that did for me as a pastor. It thrilled my heart to know that when people come into this place that you greet them. And it's not easy sometimes to meet strangers. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people who are coming in, it's not easy on them to walk into a place where it's cold and where they don't feel welcome. And I hope our guests today have felt welcomed as you have come to this place. You see, the crown is there as well. It awaits those who have laid down their lives. And we don't get participation trophies in the kingdom of God. We receive the crown when we are willing to lay down our life for Jesus. Have you laid down your life? Have you laid down your life? Have you been willing to say, Lord Jesus, here is everything that I am. Here is everything that I hope to be. Here is everything. And it may not be much, Lord, but it's all I've got to give. But I give it to you because you gave all for me. Saw a bumper sticker one time that says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he stretched out his arms and died. You may think of yourself and think you don't have anything to offer, but you do. But the only way Jesus can take what you have and use it is if you're willing to lay it down. Is if you're willing to lay it down. I urge you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercy, that you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What's Paul saying? We have to lay it down. We have to lay it down. Susie and Pastor Tyler are going to come. We're going to sing an older song, but I want you to listen to the chorus of it as we sing it. And if you feel like this morning that you need to come and you need to lay down your life for Jesus, these altars are always open, always open. And you can come and God can do something in your heart and life. The words are going to be on the screen here in just a moment, but let's pray first. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this man, Stephen, who was willing to lay down his life. He laid down his life for the church. He laid down his life for the crowd. He laid down his life for the crown, which he ultimately presented to you, I believe. Many of us come to these places and we think, well, I don't have anything that I can give. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you will take those who feel very unqualified and you will make them qualified to serve in your kingdom. If we're just simply willing to lay it down. So, Lord, this morning I pray that as we sing this verse and this chorus, that if we need to lay our lives down before you, that you'd give us the courage and the boldness that we need to step out from where we are and come and bow here in this altar. We won't be alone because there will be people who will gather with us and who will pray with us. And so, Lord, we're believing you for that. May you touch us and help us this morning. May we lay down our lives for you, we ask. In Jesus' name.
In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. There's much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small or little? No, it is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if you are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Thank you.
evening at 6. And you come, and I know that the Lord's going to bless you. We got small group out in Peavine, small groups here around the church. And so you come, and good things are happening in our small groups, and we praise God for that. They're starting out there, the book of Jude, I think. Is that tonight? Somebody who goes out there? Okay. Starting the book of Jude out there. Ken and Peggy Miller are going to be leading that group, and it'll be great. Lord bless you. I'm glad you were here this morning. Thank you for our guests who are with us today. We're glad that you were here and hope that you received a blessing. Thanks for those of you on Facebook. God bless you. We'll see you later.